Today, this last fruit, I think it sums it all up because I think it's the hardest one. And it's self-control. And so today we're going to finish it up. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Okay, we got it. Okay, we got it. You ought to have that memorized by now. And so, you know, many of the problems that we have, many of the problems that we face are caused by a lack of self-control. We ask questions like, why can't I lose weight? Or why can't I keep my house clean? Or why can't I break that bad habit that I have? Or why can't I get out of debt even? But the reality is we can't do these things because of a lack of self-control. And our biggest problem is ourselves. And perhaps you feel that way. Perhaps you feel that life is out of control for you, and maybe it is, and you feel overwhelmed by your situation and circumstances. And that's a scary feeling, isn't it? It's a scary feeling when you're not in control of your life. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city that is broken in two and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit." And I say that, listen to that again. Like a city that is broken in two and without walls is a man, a feller or a fellette, whichever. That's my terms, okay? Who has no control over his spirit. And so self-control and self-discipline are the key factors in success in our life, in this life we live. And without self-discipline or self-control, you're unlikely really to achieve anything. Or, you know, of lasting value, that is, you know. The Apostle Paul compared life to competing in sports. He did that, you know, because it was a big deal then. That he says this in 1 Corinthians 9:25, that every man who takes part in the sports has self-control in all things, and now they do it to get a crown which is of this world, but we for eternal crown. So we have a different goal. Another way to say it is no pain, no gain, right? There has to be a little bit of pain for the gain, and that means sometimes we got to give up stuff for Christ, right? We got to take up that cross and follow Him. And what's that mean? Take up your cross and follow Him. It means that we have to have a little self-control in our life. And you know, every fitness trainer, if you've ever been to a gym, they'll tell you that it takes self-discipline and self-control to be a winner of any sport. You have to work at it. You have to practice at it. It takes time and discipline. And it's like that in everything that we do in life. Olympic athletes, they train for years and years to have that one moment that they might win. That one moment. But the hours that they put in. You know, it's important than the earthly athletic events, though, for us to remember that self-control is not optional for Christians. And here's the fact. There's no easy way to self-control. And it's a process that takes the Holy Spirit working inside of us to master those things in our life. So I want to suggest some steps that might help us, that we might think about. The first thing is we have to admit we have a problem. That's hard for us to do sometimes. We have to admit we have a problem. And the first step for developing self-control is to admit that. We have to come to the understanding that we have problems in our life. And when I came to Christ, you know, Christ revealed that I had problems in my life. I knew that, right? Nobody had to tell me that. The Holy Spirit was telling me that. And so, but your problem is My problem is it's a lack of self-control. And so we have to admit that we have a problem. In James 1, 13 and 14, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed," listen, "by his own lusts." By his own lusts. You know, I think these verses tell us that the biggest problem that we have is ourselves. We are our own biggest problem, and we do the things that we do because we want to do them. We just, that's the way it is. When we do something we know is bad, you know, a lot of times we know it's wrong to eat that piece of cherry pie, right? Yeah. Or we know we shouldn't, you know, watch that certain show that we know we shouldn't watch. And now it's even like the news, because man, that just makes you all mad. It's that inner desire, but the bad thing is we often try to ignore it. We try to deny that we have a problem, and we think, me, I don't have any problems. I'm okay. I can do those things. It's not that big of a deal. Or we often try to rationalize, it's just the way I am. I've heard people say that. Well, I am who I am, and that's just the way God made me. Well, yeah, God made you, but he made you to be like him. He created you in his image to be like him. And he wants to make you like him. He wants to mold you into his image. A lot of times we like to take self-control. Some people say, everybody else is doing it. Can't be that big of a deal. But sometimes that blame game, we blame others. And I heard a story about a little boy that used to say, the devil made me do it. Mom's smiling. I said that a few times in my life. You know, it was always somebody else's fault, or it was usually because I could blame the devil, right? The devil made me do it. We do what we want to because we want to, and we don't want to admit we have problems a lot of times, and we want to play games like that and blame other people, but blame doesn't fix anything. Disregarding the problems in our life doesn't fix anything, right? It doesn't make us better. So the first step to gaining self-control, I think, is to admit that we got problems. And let me tell you, we have all got problems. Let me tell you, we do. Sometimes we're out of control. And so I say, Lord, grant me self-control today. Amen? Grant me self-control. The second step is, and a lot of people deal with this, is things that I hear when I talk to people is they can't put the past behind them. They just can't. They're always thinking about what happened and, well, you know, about their past. They blame things that happened in their past. Or, you know, it's always, they do the blame game about things that happened in their past. That's what made them who they are. But we got to put the past behind us. And Paul says this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind," hear that, "forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, I got to forget about all that junk in my past, because let me tell you, Paul had a past, didn't he? He was not a great guy when he was younger, or before he got saved, right? And there was a lot of people that didn't trust him at first because of what he did. A lot of the Christian church, I mean, a lot of the way, the followers of Christ in the early church, when Paul came to them, they were like, wait a second now, there's got to be a back, you know, this is Paul we're talking about. He's the one that had Stephen stoned. They knew that. And Paul suffered with that. He did. He really had to. And that's why he writes this. He says, I've got to forget it. I've got to leave all that behind me because I can't worry or focus on that. I've got to look forward. I've got to look at what the prize really is. And I've got to look forward to what lies ahead of me. And I think it exposes some misconceptions that will keep you from gaining self-control. And some people have an attitude of once a failure, always a failure. And even some people might have that view of you, but God doesn't. God doesn't share that view with you. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly, right? He has forgiven you. He says, I don't remember any of that stuff. He's forgiven you. Amen. When you receive Him into your life, He's forgiven your sins. That means all that stuff that's behind you is gone. Right? Amen. Sometimes people deal with their, they try to quit their bad habits, and then sometimes they get caught up in that, and they lose self-control, and that misconception, you know, just haunts them in their life, and things that they've done in their past, and I don't know, focusing on the past is just not a good thing, I'm telling you. It's like driving a car and looking in the rearview mirror while you're driving. I'm telling you, it's not going to work out good for you, right? Because there's going to be a point where you're going to crash. You're going to have a wreck, you know. And sometimes people's lives, that's the way it ends up, in a big wreck. Because they're always looking backwards and they're not focusing on what's ahead of them, and they end up in a big mess. You know, you ever watch a toddler just learning how to walk? I mean, we have, right? I mean, and they fall down a lot. But yet, they still, something inside of them, man, they just, it's not going to keep them down. They're going to get back up and get back up and get back up until finally they get it right. They don't stay down. They keep on trying, and eventually they succeed at it, and they learn to walk by persistence. And shouldn't we do that as well? Shouldn't we walk by persistence? We just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. I've heard a lot of old preachers preach that message of keep on keeping on. You just keep moving forward, inch by inch sometimes. You remember many times that you fell down in your life. You remember those times that you failed in your life, but is now the past controlling you? Are you moving on forward, or you just keep looking backwards at what happened? Put the past in the past. Forgetting what lies behind you and reaching forward to what lies ahead. That's what Paul's saying. He's press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. Try again. Only this time, try it in a new way and allow God to help you through it. Admitting you have a problem. You know, when Thomas Edison developed the light bulb, time after time he ran into problems. Thousands of times he failed. Thousands of times. And he said, I don't look at it as failures. I look at it, you know, I call it attempts. I call it an education, he writes. I just found thousands of ways that you can't do it. But he finally succeeded, didn't he? Another thing is we need to master our emotions. That's a hard one. Controlling your emotions. The next step, I think this controlling your emotions or mastering your emotions, we put far too much emphasis on feelings today. It's all about what feels good. Man, if it doesn't feel good, right? Well, sometimes it just doesn't feel good, right? Sometimes it doesn't feel good to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to drive to work. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to come to church. I feel better after I've left church. I'm just being honest. Sometimes we make up these excuses. We, you know, in this world today, it's all about how you feel. I mean, people are just, oh, it's about a feeling. And I, you know, people, I don't feel like working. I don't feel like studying. There's days I don't feel like studying. I don't. I don't feel like getting out of bed sometimes. I do. I don't feel like reading my Bible. Sometimes I just don't feel like doing anything at all. But we can't give in to our feelings at times. Sometimes we just got to do what we got to do, right? We just got to do what we got to do. Feelings are highly unreliable. And do you let your moods manipulate you? God doesn't want you to be controlled by your feelings. He wants you to master your moods. And with Christ as your master of your life, you can learn to master your feelings and take charge. And God says He wants you to learn how to master your emotions, to learn self-control. In Titus 2, 12 and 13, it says this. It says, we're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. And this new life is starting right now. And it's whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior Jesus appears. Man, that's an exciting thing to think about, isn't it? I know we celebrate Christmas as a time where the birth of Jesus, but as Christians, we're waiting for His return. And that's a glorious thing. That's an exciting thing to think about. As we celebrate this season, we should be, man, one of these days He's going to come back. And that should excite every believer in Jesus Christ. That's a glorious thing. We should have an appetite for that. We should hunger for His return. Because He's going to set everything right. He's going to take away all the pain, all the suffering, all that junk that goes on in this world that we deal with, all the emotional things, and He's going to make it all right. Amen. And that's something we should have an appetite for. Some things we need to turn our backs on. Man, this world is so full of garbage. Are other things we need to look forward to. And don't let your emotions manipulate your way. Don't let it manipulate you away, I'll say this, from what lies ahead. So many people are guided by their emotions. Some of the greatest accomplishments I know in my life, they've been great to me, have happened even though I didn't feel like doing them. But they've happened. I didn't feel like running 10 or a 10K race. I was forced to run a 10K race when I was at Fort Benning. But it was one of the greatest accomplishments probably that I ever had. I left there with knowing that we broke the base record that year. That's a big deal when thousands of troops come through there. I didn't want to. I was forced to. But it was a great accomplishment. But one of my greatest accomplishments is when I didn't want to come to Christ, when I stood back there in the back pew, when in this church house right here with my hands gripped on the back of the pew saying, I don't want to go forward. I don't want to let go of my life. But I did. And when I did, it was the greatest accomplishment in my entire life. I had to master my emotions at that moment and keep on moving towards the goal. We have to believe in the power of God that you can change too. We have to believe that. Do you believe in the power of God this morning? That God is in the changing business. He transforms people from who they were to where He wants them to be.
Amen.
If you're going to change and become more self-controlled, you have to start believing it. You have to believe that God can change you. He can change you. He can change your beliefs. He can control your behaviors as well. The seed must be planted in your mind. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. Most of the time. Many people say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. One person says, I can do it. Both are right. You know, I think about the first guy who jumped out of an airplane with a parachute on. I'm sure there was thoughts in his head at first, I can't do this. That'd be a hard decision to make. Never been done before. Here's what we want you to do. Jump out of this plane. Is this going to work? I don't know. It should. We hope it does. I mean, can you imagine that? I'm sure he had doubts in his mind. I can't do that. After it worked, I bet those thoughts were different. Huh, right? Then he had a belief in what he was, you know, that the parachute was going to work the second time he jumped, right? Well, it worked the first time. Romans 12, 2, you remember? I've mentioned that many times in this last few weeks. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I think a major step in gaining self-control in our life is changing the way that we think, and that's being transformed by the renewing of our minds. When self-control is being tested, you need to fill your mind with the promises of God. And believe that God can change you. God's got a beautiful promise written in Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. He says you're going to be tempted. But He says, I'll give you a way out. I'll give you a way out. And you won't be tempted more than you can handle, because you got Me with you. Amen? If you're a Christian, you cannot ever say the temptation was just way too strong for you, you just couldn't help yourself. The Bible says God is faithful. I believe that, don't you? And if you're a Christian, He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him that strengthens me. Amen? I can do all things. What's all things? What is that? What is all things? That means all things, right? Everything that goes on in your life. You can change. I can change. You can be different. You can stop setting yourself up. I don't have to set myself up for failure by constantly criticizing myself. We can believe that we can change, right? By the power of God, with God's help. We got to avoid temptation, though. That's a big one. We don't put ourselves in places to be tempted on purpose. Stay away from situations that weaken your self-control. If you don't want to be stung, stay away from the bees, right? That's what I say. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do to avoid temptation in our life. You got to plan in advance to avoid situations that you know are going to cause temptation in your life. Don't keep candy in the cupboard if you're trying to go on a diet or you know that it's a temptation. You know? It is really sometimes, when it's there right in front of you, well, one piece won't hurt. Leonard didn't wear his steel-toe boots today. You all know what I'm talking about. But we got a plan to avoid those things if it's something that harms you in your life. What's in your life that you need to avoid? We all have those things. What do you need to get rid of? We all have those things too. If you know there are things that cause you problems, and I say, stay away from them. Just stay away from them. And Ephesians chapter 4 says this, do not give the devil an opportunity. Don't give him that opportunity. Don't watch shows that you shouldn't watch or videos that you shouldn't watch. Stay away from that stuff. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that might hinder us and entangle us in sin. If you know something gives you a problem, then just get rid of it. Now, what do you need to avoid this morning? You don't have to answer that out loud, okay? You know what tempts you. You know in your heart what tempts you. Self-control involves avoiding temptation. And finally, we got to depend on Christ's power. That's most important, isn't it? We're dependent upon Him. If you want to develop this self-control, we need to learn to depend on Christ's power to help us. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians 5:16 says this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You hear that? Walk by the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God living within us so that we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The sequence in this sentence is very important. And let the Spirit guide your life. And that's the first part. And you will not obey your selfish desires if you do that. And notice that if you notice there, it doesn't say that you won't have those desires. Doesn't say that. Spirit-filled people are still going to have desires. Desires of the flesh. It's just that they won't satisfy them because of the Spirit of God living within them. We usually get the sequence backwards. And what we usually say is, I'm not good enough to have God's Spirit in my life, and I'm not worthy to have Him direct me. My life's too much of a mess. Instead, we should be saying, I need to get my act together, right? I'm going to live for Him every day, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit control my life. He says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. Amen. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Let me into your life, he says. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone, he doesn't say just certain people. He said, if anyone, anyone will open that door. So I encourage you to follow the Holy Spirit while you're struggling with your problems. And then I'll say, let Him help change you. What if you, what do you think about if I said this, I'm going to get well first, and then I'm going to go see the doctor? Doesn't quite make sense, does it? It's kind of a ridiculous idea, but many times that's the way we treat God. We do that many times in our spiritual lives, and we try to fix ourselves first instead of coming to God who can fix us. He has the power to change us. But we have to allow that process to happen. We have to allow Him to change us. You don't need to try to change yourself. You just need to trust God. You'll struggle and it'll be a mess if you can just trust God and just know that He's going to take care of you no matter what. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never. If you stay connected to me, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll help you through those hard times. I'll help you stay straightened out. I'll help you with those temptations. I'll be right there for you. He's in the life-changing business. I'm telling you. Man, that's a powerful testimony when somebody tells you their story and how God changed their life. Amen. And God's still doing that. He's not stopped doing that. Changing people. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. The secret of self-control is Christ control. Amen. And if you haven't done it yet, if you've never asked Christ into your life, do it today. If you've never allowed Christ to really just take full control of your life, just let Him do it today. And I'll say, remember that Christ provides the power that changes you, not you. Not anyone else. It's all of what He does in you. And that's really what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of yourself. It's the Spirit that lives inside of you. And I could say, which one is it? Is it the Spirit of Christ that lives in you? Or is it the spirit of this world that lives in you? And you can make that change today. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask Him into your life today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are a great and wonderful God. A loving God who sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world may have life through Him. Lord, we celebrate on this Christmas Eve the glory of Your love and forgiveness. Lord, we trust in You today. We leave here better than we came, knowing that Your Spirit is what guides us. Lord, we love You. We honor and praise You in all that we do. Amen.